At 94 years young, our co-founder Charles Fillmore said something about zeal. Some of you know this quote, and you can say it with me if you do. He said, "I fairly sizzle with zeal and enthusiasm and spring forth with a mighty faith to do the things that ought be done by me." Isn't that great? It's so inspiring to think that that is our lineage. That is the stock we come from in Unity, is this kind of energy, even late in life, filled with zeal and enthusiasm for what it is that is ours to do. The power of zeal is the 10th of our 12 powers in Unity, and it is the impulse to go forward. It's that energy that propels us, the fuel. Without it, we have stagnation. We have inertia, right? Without zeal, we feel lackluster and ho-hum about life. Anybody ever get into those ruts? And so zeal brings it back, brings the spark of life back for us. It is the spice of life, zeal is. It's the action of spirit, and it's not surprising that its color is orange. I love your orange today, you and Diane. That's great. But orange, right? That fiery color, that color of passion, that color that wakes us up when we see it. So now, with all that description and what you might think of zeal, you might think, well, zeal is more for extroverts, right? It's a very extroverted kind of energy, right? But don't let that stop you, because it actually is not limited to extroversion. We introverts can use our zeal in many ways. You can experience zeal in a quiet, grounded way. It doesn't always have to be all out loud and extroverted. So zeal is all of that. We all have that power within us, and we have the ability to express it in ways that are authentic to us. Some of us will be quiet some of the time and loud other times, and vice versa. Right? So it's all of that. We all have the same claim to passion. Zeal is another word for enthusiasm. And as I mentioned in the meditation, enthusiasm comes from the root that means entheos. It's a Greek root. And entheos is being in God or filled with God. So when we are enthused, that is exactly what's happening, right? We're filled with the Spirit. So it's in the medulla, in the back of the head. So you can think about like when you're kind of propelled forward, right? It is the energy of zeal that makes you excited to lean into life. And it is also represented by Simon the Zealot, naturally, and Ruth. Ruth. So let's look at Ruth's story for a minute. Ruth's story starts with Naomi. Naomi is her mother-in-law. Naomi has, at this point in the story, lost her husband and her two sons to famine. And Ruth and Orpah are her daughters-in-law. And so there's a sort of dramatic, sweeping scene in the Bible. I sort of have the visuals of like the dusty desert, right? And they're beautiful robes are flowing in the wind, and the three women are standing there. What do we do now, right? They don't have that sort of economic support. They've just come from famine. And Naomi says to her two daughters-in-law, "I'm going back to my homeland. You two need to go back to Moab, your homeland." And Orpah goes, but Ruth stands strong. Because in Ruth is a pure love and devotion for her mother-in-law, and she won't part from her. And she says to her, "Wherever you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God." And you think about how brave probably this very young woman, who instead of going back to the safety of her own culture and language and home and family, is so devoted to her mother-in-law and the love and the bond that they've created, that she'll go to this new place where there's a brand new culture and home and unknown, right? Language, and even adopt somebody else's God to make a new life. Do you have those experiences in your life where you love someone that much, that you are so devoted that you will do whatever you need to do as long as you can be in each other's company, right? I remember when I was a young girl, sometimes I'd have this wash of love move through me. I'd just suddenly feel so much love for my father or my sister, and it just overtake me. You know those feelings? Well, it's a feeling of being in love, too. But it can be a lot of different relationships, right? It might be the devotion we feel to a child that comes out as that sort of mama bear energy, or the devotion we feel for a parent as we care for maybe an aging parent as a devoted child of that parent. So there's lots of ways that this can show up for us. And when it does, it's a part of zeal because it connects with that heart space, and devotion is what propels us then to do what we need to do to support those we love, to protect those we love, to be with those we love, to make a life with those we love, to enjoy life with those we love. So whoever or whatever that is for you, it's worth thinking about. We can also have devotion. That's devotion to the divine through humans. We also can have devotion to the divine through icons or ideas of spirituality, a sort of devotional sense of I'm looking over at Mirabai and Steve now because they've shared with us during many paths to the one of Hinduism. And Hinduism has many gods and goddesses and very devotional in its nature, right? Chanting and imagery of the different faces and aspects of the divine. When I was in graduate school, I would leave work and take the L train in Chicago, which is essentially like a subway, but elevated, right? And I'd get off the train and I'd walk to Loyola University where I was going to school. And every time I walked by this courtyard of this Catholic church, I would see this beautiful, inviting statue of Mother Mary. I didn't grow up Catholic, so that I was sort of intrigued, but that wasn't part of my experience in my religious experience. But yet I felt she called to me all the time. So one day I made some time to just be there, and I went into the courtyard. Often there was nobody there, and there was no one that day. And I sat down, and before I knew it, I was telling this beautiful motherly figure with open arms all my concerns and problems, and just sort of unloading in that way. You ever pray in that way where you just sort of unload? And it was so freeing and so comforting. And it allowed me then to take off my plate or concerns or my heart, anything that I was carrying, so that I could do the next thing and I could renew my zeal for my goals. So I could go from work and then on to school and then to do my homework because I had some ideas in mind of where I was headed. And so it's that kind of devotional love that can really assist us on the pathway of rediscovering or discovering our zeal. So in this time in our world, we may be feeling like, the power of zeal, I don't know. It doesn't feel as alive right now, maybe for some people. It may feel like it's tamped down a little bit. Maybe there's even some sense of discontentment. But you know what that discontentment is? Something we call divine discontentment. And what's different about divine discontentment and just plain old discontentment is that it's not the end game. Divine discontentment is the thing that stirs us. When there is pain or discomfort or discontent, it stirs us and it moves us into action, right? So there's a pathway that happens if we allow it. If there does feel like a tamped down sense, we can draw some inspiration from Galatians, where it says, "Let us not lose our zeal in doing good, for in due season we will reap reward if we do not give up." And so if there is a sense of discontentment in any way, or discomfort or pain in any way, we can recognize that if we don't give up, there's an energy there that is calling us, that is propelling us at all times, that can help us get back on track. So whether we approach our zeal from this place of divine discontent, or we approach it from our heart's desire, either way is going to be a pathway to igniting that power and that enthusiasm and that zest for living in us. Because when we connect with Source, that discontent that shifts back into our heart, we realize, you know, we go from, I don't want that, to identifying then, what do we want? And as we flip that around, our heart's desire becomes part of our awareness once again. And we are on that track. Zeal, the revealing word says, is the inward fire of the soul that urges us onward. So it's always there, right? The fire of the soul is always there. It's just a little stoking sometimes to get it going once again so that we can be propelled forward. Whether zeal is ignited by that divine discontent or by that heart's desire, we will move into exactly what it is that is ours to do and to feel that sense of aliveness again. To step on the path of entheos, being in God or filled with God, and we begin to feel the enthused energy that regenerates through our whole bodies and minds. Our callings are always at play. They're always there. The things that are a part of our soul's deepest desires, maybe even the imprint of our soul that we came in with, the sense of purpose for our lives, it's always there. And we can continue in our lives at times to lose sight, but then we recover it again. When we very deliberately ignite these powers, especially in this case, the power of zeal, we come back into contact with that, the sense of inspiration, also a word that means in spirit. So there's that sense of, there it is. There's the breath of God. There's the energy I feel. There's the sense of purpose and drive and ambition and excitement to be alive and to know that my soul is here at this time to do what is mine to do, to make my contributions and put my creations out into the world. You know, even in difficult times, some people, all of us really, cannot be stopped. Vincent van Gogh talked about this as he wrote to his brother Theo. He said, ill as I am, I cannot do without something which is greater than I, which is my life, the power to create. He had a real sense of, this is my purpose. I cannot stop the flow and the purpose that moves through me to create, to paint. It's just in my blood. It's in my soul. Ill as I am, I can't stop the energy of zeal. And that's the truth about all of us. Vincent's paintings were fueled by the fire of spirit. And for all of us, it is like that fire. It's like electricity, right? If you think about when we plug into the source, when we plug into the divine within us, then that electrical current of energy begins to flow once again, and everything feels alive again and moving again through us, right? And then the lamp, if you can think of the lamp that gets lit, that lamp is the form of our creations, our contributions, our service to the world. And it just naturally shines out. So that zeal, when it shines out, it's kind of a contagious sort of energy, isn't it? When we're around people who are in joy or in laughter, it becomes very contagious. That's all a part of this power of zeal, as we let it be, as we let it open up and unleash it within ourselves. Give ourselves permission to relax into the flow of zeal. Because it's a fun power. It's a joyful power. It's a power that allows us to really feel the sense of presence and power that is always in us and then express it in whatever ways that we feel in any given moment. So if we're feeling listless or apathetic at any point, we can find our way back through the power of zeal, through the task that is before us, the person who is before us, whatever might jar us into the memory of who we are and what we're about. Henry Emerson Fosdick tells this story that he wrote about when he was a child in upstate New York. He said that his mother gave him an empty quart container and said, go out and pick a quart of raspberries. And so Henry didn't feel like doing that, but that's what his mom told him he had to do, right? So there he is dragging his feet. Anybody ever feel like, you know, literally kind of don't want to do this, got to do this? And then he's putting one raspberry in the container at a time and thinking, I will never fill this container up. It is such a slow process. But something happened to young Henry, and all of a sudden he got a divine idea. That ever happened to you? All of a sudden some kind of idea just arises from within you or seems to drop from the ethers. And it's like, what if? And then that idea has energy and it propels us. And his idea was, what if instead of bringing one quart of raspberries, I fill 2 quarts of raspberries? What a surprise for Mom. And he got so excited about this that excitement began to flow through him. And in no time, he had 2 full quarts of raspberries. And he couldn't wait to run home and surprise his mother with these 2 quarts of raspberries. And his mom was so surprised. The whole household was so surprised. Look what Henry did. Oh, my gosh. They're still telling that story today in his family. The day that Henry dragged his butt out to the raspberries with complete resistance and rebellion and resentment, and he came back a transformed young man with 2 full quarts. Anybody ever relate to that? Yeah, so when we find ourselves in those places, I mean, who wants to live in resistance and rebelliousness and that kind of energy, right? We know that kind of energy will never propel us to spring forth and do the things that ought to be done by us. And so it's that openness, that willingness, something, and Henry was open and willing to receive that divine idea that shifted everything, right? As it says in Romans, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. If we stay open, our minds can be renewed. If we close up and we say, nope, shop is closed, I'm not doing anything else, no, 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 we're just in an energy of shutdown and contraction. Not in an energy to allow the power of zeal to blossom through us and to be the contagion for the kind of community that we have here. So, where are we? When we discover zeal, it's like we found some nugget of gold or won the great race, right? Brenly and I've been watching U.S. Open tennis, and it's very exciting. These 2 young teenage girls made it all the way to the finals. I won't tell you who won, but it's so exciting to see that kind of thing when somebody takes it all the way and then wins. It's those moments of joy that we have and disbelief sometimes of what it is that we have accomplished or what it is that has arisen, the great surprise that has come to us. It makes us want to just throw up our hands and shout, right? Like the song. Do you know the song? Hey, hey, hey. Mario knows it. Melissa knows it. Yeah. Hey. You can just do that if you want to raise your energy. Just play a few bars of that and do a little shout. From your seated chair, you can do that. Sitting in a boring meeting, you can do that. Just all of a sudden, a little. If you have to keep it quiet, you know, just do it to yourself under the table. There's so many ways that we can get our energy moving and going, right? And it's up to us to make those choices and make it fun. It is fun. The power of zeal is all about fun. So those delightful surprises happen all the time, right? Thursday night, we had a World Day of Prayer service here. And in the midst of a very sacred ceremony, right, we went out to the labyrinth, we lit our candles, spoke our prayers, and then some people were walking the labyrinth, some people were heading back, and all of a sudden it started to rain. Finally, right? I mean, that has been our collective California prayer for how long? And it wasn't a long rain, but they were big drops of rain. I was looking at them on the pavement. They were like that big. And we all just sort of threw up our hands, right? Like, rain! Oh my gosh, rain! And so it's one of those moments of collective zeal. And we get that collective zeal when we enter together into ritual, into prayer, into ceremony, never knowing exactly what the outcome will be. I mean, the candles were going out in typical unity fashion. We were just making something of that. Oh, look how prayer works, you know? We were just enjoying the moment, and then came the rain. So it is that delight, that surprise that is a part of zeal, that willingness to be in theos at any time. Howard Thurman said, "Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go and do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive." Amen, huh? That is one of my favorite quotes because it just rings so true. So who do you love? What do you love? What lights you up? Those are the kinds of things that we inquire into to find our way back to our zeal or to spark it even further, to feel that zest for life. Getting the most out of our zeal, though, however, we need to keep in mind pacing, because we can get so excited about something, right? And so on fire about it. And this is often a saying that will say, "I'm getting ahead of myself," which is actually quite literal, that your energy is up ahead of your body's ability to keep up. Anybody ever have these experiences? And so we start to feel a little worn down because it's our excitement that's propelling us forward. So with the power of wisdom, we can pair these two at times and just recognize it's all going to happen and the excitement can still be there. We're not tamping it down. We're just making it possible. We're making it possible for the long-term success of whatever it is that we're up to come to fruition. So if our energy and zeal is just sort of a rah-rah, frenetic kind of energy, it will fizzle out. It has a short-term effect. But if it's grounded in these other powers, maybe tempered with a little bit of wisdom and understanding, it can go the long haul. We can keep the fire burning. We can stay focused on and making our goals and our dreams a reality. So there are great teachers amongst us, a medicine that comes into our lives when we need it most, and it's under this understanding of the pacing and the persistent aspect of zeal. Anybody have any ants in their home lately? Yeah, some of you do. Okay, first service, I was all alone. Yeah, we have them here. I see that. Charlene's like, yeah, and they're here at Unity. And so ant medicine in indigenous cultures is often, or Native American often call them the symbol or the medicine. They're bringing the medicine of patience. So they're everywhere, right? So carrying that message of a patient, persistent kind of zeal. So let's take a case study here. These are leafcutter ants in Brazil. They have created this metropolis that is 500 square feet and 26 feet deep. The network ants, they're leafcutter ants. The network is designed in a way that it allows good ventilation. It has been, the architecture provides the shortest transportation routes, scores of highways that connect to the main chambers and the side roads. The paths branch out to rubbish pits and fungus gardens grown from the vegetation that was collected by the worker ants. Each insect repeatedly carries a great load of weight. The largest ants can carry up to 50 times their body weight for a half a mile or more. And they work in the dark. Leafcutter ants form the most complex societies on Earth after humans. Those little tiny ants. Patience, persistence, zeal. They don't lose focus on what it is that they are creating, and they do it with precision. I think we should elect them to take over the infrastructure of our country. The gift of zeal cannot be squandered for ourselves either. If you look at the ants, they work in a colony, right? It's contagious kind of energy that keeps everybody moving. It's the kind of thing that a community does, right? We get excited about our mission, and then we all rally to make it so. We get excited about certain strategic directions or projects or possibilities, and then we all make it so. So right now we've got the excitement of having children on our campus, pre-K, kindergartners and first graders bringing energy to our campus throughout the day. Yeah, and it's all because a great gift came our way and we were willing and open to create a partnership and to say, wow, this is a win-win for all of us. And so it's thanks to our staff and to our board members who have worked hard to make all of that happen very quickly. They are thrilled to be here. So it's that kind of willingness to work with each other, but also to recognize even individually when we are in a place of joy, when we are connected to our zeal, other people can catch that that fire, right? And get excited about their own dreams or support yours. I've talked to people who've recently said, well, you know, I'm kind of at the end, or the later stages of my life, and I don't have the same kinds of goals and visions of the life before me that I had, you know, 20, 30 years ago. Yet we still have zeal. We still have a power that propels us to evolve spiritually. We still have a power that propels us to serve in whatever ways we wish to serve or to contribute. Sometimes it's to our grandchildren. What a lovely thing to be able to contribute to the growth and the well-being of our grandchildren. Sometimes it's being a spiritual mentor or a coach in not necessarily officially in those terms, but just taking that on, that you will be somebody who will thrill for others' successes, that you will fan the flames of their passion rather than putting the wet blanket of no on their ideas and their excitement, right? We don't want to be the ones who are saying, no, shouldn't, couldn't, never, we don't do it that way, we never did it that way. You know, you can just feel the drain of that energy, right? Who wants to be around that? That's not the kind of energy that propels us to be the best that we can be. It's not who we've come here to be. So when we find ourselves in those places, we can just keep our little wet blankets to ourselves, do a little, you know, recalibrating so that we can be the presence of yes, the presence of support, the presence of possibility, and help others to bring forth their own zeal. So let's take a look and assess our own zeal. Here are some questions that can help us get a sense of where we are with our own power of zeal. Are you curious and intrigued with life? Do you focus on the positive? Are you radiating uplifting energy? Are you feeling deeply, laughing often? Are you engaged in doing something you love? Are you serving a greater purpose than yourself? And here's some things that we can do to ignite this power, to nurture our power of zeal. We can just take a little time to name our passions, maybe write them down. Write a few things that you're really passionate about and make a commitment to yourself that you will engage in that passion this week in some way. Follow your divine discontentment if that's what's present and let it move you into an enthused action to make a difference, to contribute to the world. I remember hearing once Marianne Williamson when I was pretty young, I was in my 20s, and she said, if you look around the world and you feel depressed about the condition of something, that is your thing to contribute to. So let it be your fire. Let it be the thing that allows you to make a difference. We can be quiet in our contentment of zeal, or we can be out loud in our expression. Experiment and have fun with this. If you tend to be more reserved, do something wild. If you tend to always be the life of the party, take a little more grounded internal time, a walk in nature by yourself. Plug into the divine most of all and let yourself be naturally enthused in theos, in God, infilled, inspired in spirit. That's what zeal is all about. So let's move through this week and embody what Confucius says, wherever you go, go with all your heart. So this week, as we move, we ignite this power of zeal, this sense of joy, the sense of purpose, and also a recognition that we ourselves can be an uplifting energy and presence for others. Let's speak this affirmation together and take it with us as a charge for our week. Together, I ignite my power of zeal, joy, and purpose I am an uplifting presence. Let's say that one more time. Sorry, I was stumbling. I ignite my power of zeal to live with joy and purpose. I am an uplifting presence. And so it is.